Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, we're back again for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed, and I'm your host, Enemia, Covenant Remembrance Ministries, so very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again, welcoming you to the show. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I have for him some very important things for him to do. He told me because of what I must do, he said, yes, indeed, that I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he's told me that I must tell you things. He has told me, I must tell you things, that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. I can only tell you that I am deep thankful for I can now say that I have actually in the midst of celebrating 30 years of investigation, knowing that it is not men that I should speak, or that we who are faithful should speak. It's not after the unction of men that we should seek, or the exceeding knowledge of the truth. But it is indeed, my brothers and sisters, if we are to attain what will make us whole and make us complete, what will make us true to all that appeases divine will, it is important, my brothers and sisters, that we discern what the scriptures command when they say if we are scattered among the nations, lacking wisdom, amidst the world of provocations. Well, I didn't say that any of these standards, partial and perverse after the nations, were acceptable. Most I call them temptations and provocations, blasphemous disrespect even, against the pure perfect purpose for which he has mandated all men must attain. In fact, the standard that he has required all men to attain. All these provocations have been against that oneness. He said, we lack wisdom, we must ask him. I said, if we lack wisdom, if we lack what is the mutual requirement of all mankind, don't think that the various standards established by the rulers are sufficient. You've seen many times how the scriptures relate. Those of the early church, which was a very much so a grassroots movement. Very rare few were part of the early church, my brothers and sisters, that were of the nobility. Therefore, we understand, or should understand, what the scriptures mean when they say that no double-minded man should receive anything, should have received anything of the inheritance that's promised to the Most High. Think about it. The Most High has promised peace. He's promised mutual understanding. There's no two pieces, two completions. There's no two perfect, pure understandings unto one Yah in this one world. Someone recently posted something I happened to see, and it asked simply the question, if all the religions of the world preach peace, why have they not achieved peace? I can only tell you, brothers and sisters, it's because there's only one peace. Peace with Yah, according to the purpose that he declared from the beginning. It's never been according to the multitude of diverse standards, just simply seeming wise or complicit after, let's just say, man's desires oftentimes to compromise. I can only tell you that the ancient word, many times related for those who believed, also related, my brothers and sisters, to curious people. Those not satisfied in a lack of knowledge. Those who knew that only pure and complete knowledge of what the Most High declares his purpose would bring forth peace. My brothers and sisters, those who understood that the gospel is not after the various compromises of men. But the gospel is not the various reigning institutions, or ideals, seeming wise unto men. Those who know that the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is that exceeding word which the Most High declared from the beginning eternal. These are they who held steadfast to the ancient and eternal promise. The question I ask, my brothers and sisters, today, to those who say they believe Yah, how many understand then that the only hope of peace is the remembrance of all the Most High declared to his people from the very beginning? Messiah, according to the scriptures in Acts 3:18-23, comes for the remembrance of all that the Most High said from the beginning through the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring all things to remembrance. Holy Spirit seeks to bring all things, preaches, teaches, to bring all things to remembrance, rebuke all sin, How about to restore man to unto reconciliation after that which the Most High declared before the world began to damnedly separate and rebel, or was beguiled against the pure perfect wisdom of Yah? Holy Spirit, teach all things, bring all things to remembrance, rebuke all sin. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, we must understand what this means. That the word of Yah, the promise of Yah, the expectation of Yah, the purpose of Yah, the decree of Yah, the judgment of Yah, the sentence of Yah, the oath, the name of the Most High. All these, my brothers and sisters, relate one constancy that is from beginning to eternal, a constant, never deviating, never compromised after the lesser conscience of another. In fact, the Most High told me directly that any time man is subject to any conscience less than his own, or any consummate body of knowledge, men call a body of knowledge, less than access to his own, Most High said this is tribulation. Because after a lesser conscience, it is not possible for men to reason together as one true to all that he requires. When he says, come, let us reason together, it's according to the fullness of his desire and design. And it means, my brothers and sisters, that if we are to come together in his name, it's not according to our own understanding. It's asking him and inquiring of him to reveal to us what is missing. Well, Most High told me very early on, very soon after anointing time, he had already begun, in fact, before anointing, to begin to reveal to me some of the biggest secrets in the whole Bible. For that I can be utmost thankful. It is because he revealed those things to me, those secrets, many secrets, that through the course of ages, most have not considered. I've always thanked the Most High. Even from the earliest times of awakening and call, known to seek Yah for the truth that exceeds the ordinary understanding of man. On my website, hiddengospel.com, you'll find articles there called, like the article called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation, article called Secret City, article called Tribulation 70 to 365 A.D. Wow, I sit back and I think about when the Most High first began to reveal these things. Article there called Remember the Promise. Most High showed me a scroll I will never forget, so I'll continue to strive for the cause of my people Israel until ... And on that scroll was so much of the promises of the Most High, my brothers and sisters. He revealed them to me at a time, however, I must admit, the level of my spiritual maturity was not great enough to harness the magnitude of what I saw at that time. But I'm thankful for the foundation. He began to, over the course of time, show me bit by bit, piece by piece, all these things work together unto a magnanimous and beautiful panorama far beyond what ordinary mind might even begin to consider and call goodness. But I thank the Most High for instilling in my spirit something beyond the ordinary. And the scriptures tells us plainly, not all have heard the preaching of the gospel. Not all have heard the exceeding word or understood the exceeding promise of Yah, or the exceeding righteousness of Yah that is only discerned by faith. Understand, if men read the word and consider that all that is there is only according to their own imaginings or the constraints of their rulers, it is not faith in Yah at all, my brothers and sisters, and it's blindness not discerning indeed what is the righteousness of Yah. And because men seek to call themselves wise after such shallow-minded parameters, it is a case of damnation, my brothers and sisters, because men have not submitting to the righteousness of Yah, seek to establish their own, if you will, righteousnesses, contentious one against another. But my brothers and sisters, there can never be peace. And the Apostle Shaul said in Romans 10 concerning these things, my greatest desire for Israel, they might be saved. That Israel might discern wherever she is scattered, beyond, my brothers and sisters, all the contentious ideals of the rulers, rulers who are not concerned with the manifestation of the Holy Kingdom, but my brothers and sisters so often concerned with their own pulpits, their own thrones, even my brothers and sisters in their contentiousness against the kingdom of Yah, even against his promised one who is to reconcile all things. Because so often, my brothers and sisters, the rulers have sought to blind mankind. I said have sought to blind mankind, not to discern with the Most High's promise. They must eradicate and bring to an end all that is an obstacle against discerning the greater truth. They have chosen, my brothers and sisters, in fact, to teach the words of the book. And because they have taught the words of the book not unto its true expectation, many have trusted, my brothers and sisters, in those who mislead them. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, how many have understood that the promise of Yah is eternal unto peace? And that means that whatever contentious ideals of man, presumptuous ideals of man after false prophets who don't speak truthfully after the testimony of the Most High, or if you will, men who teach false testimony, false expectations, making them false prophets, regardless of what testimony they bear, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, kings, presidents, premiers, whatever they call themselves, imams, whatever they call themselves, if they don't speak a testimony true in all things to the Holy Spirit, they are indeed they who speak a false prophet, a false testimony. They are, in fact, my brothers and sisters, as condemnable as are their words, because the Most High never sent anyone to distract and blind the people against the purity of his will. I would have you to understand, my brothers and sisters, truly, I would have you to understand the truth of so much that the scriptures declare that, frankly, most being jaded after the designs of the rulers have not seen. Isaiah 29 says plainly, and if we respect these words, we begin to open our eyes. Isaiah 29, 8 through 16 says, it would be like a hungry man when the Messiah reveals the fullness of the truth. It would be like a hungry man who dreams that he is eating, dreams that he is drinking, and when he awakes, he finds he's hungry and famished. Why? Because they fought against what the Most High promised to his people, even Mount Zion. Therefore, the seers and rulers who see the supposedly see the hidden things, he said, would be blind, giving lip service. Their precepts are after the vanity, the doctrines of men. He said, according to Isaiah 29, therefore they read the book. The book is given one to one who is learned. He said, I cannot read it because the book is to him is sealed. The book is given to one who is not learned. He said, I cannot read for I'm not learning. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Therefore, the scripture says, by a marvelous and a wonderful, wondrous work that he shall sanctify, set apart his people. Many of my brothers and sisters won't be according to ordinary unction of the flesh. Most High himself must open the mind to consider beyond the ordinary, that men see beyond the constraints of their rulers. For the rulers for a long time, feeling that they have blinded the people, that the Most High himself could not open their eyes, have said that they do corruptly, and none sees them. While they hide the counsel of the Most High, the scripture says the day will come, that this turning upside down of things when thy men have exalted the false righteousness of men rather than Yah, shall be esteemed as the breaking of an unclean potter's vessel. I see somebody's called in. Give me just a moment. Shall be as esteemed as an unclean, as a breaking of an unclean potter's vessel. What does that mean? It means that which would only in its preservation render corruption, death, destruction, infection. He said, my brothers and sisters, that men will understand that their exaltation of that which stands against the knowledge of Yah. Their exaltation, my brothers and sisters, of lesser standards, whereby men have defied the first command, that Yah is one, that He is the Holy One who leads His people out from darkness, out from the fallen constraints of the nations, that they should have no other God, no other standard, no standard less than the fullness that He requires. In fact, again, my brothers and sisters, He has told me that if we are subject to any conscience less than access to His exceeding wisdom, left without solution, my brothers and sisters, I said left without solution, we are left also then without salvation. Because the Most High, my brothers and sisters, has promised that His kingdom will be a kingdom of peace. Promised that all, promising then, therefore, that all will be part of that kingdom. Must be of one mind and one heart. Said the remnant of Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity, no inequity, have none in the midst of harm. They shall be a people, my brothers and sisters, conformed unto Yah, following the Lamb wherever He leads, that their kingdom be an eternal one. And the strength of that kingdom shall break in pieces all other kingdoms. And that kingdom, which is founded upon firm foundation, is the one that shall stand, according to Daniel 2:44, forever. Who will understand it in this time? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, whatever men therefore have spoken and declared somehow associate as the word of the thoughts of Yah, that has not been true to the unction of the Holy Spirit, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, only been vanity. Worthless before the Most High. Most High did not send a word to mislead. And a word, my brothers and sisters, partial, not seeking to comprehend all the implications of what the Most High has said. For the Most High has told me that to know what is said, not know why it is said, is to miss the point. Any such partial word, my brothers and sisters, that leaves men already upon a faulty foundation to be still yet vulnerable to be misled, is not a word, my brothers and sisters, found worthy unto the stability of the Holy Kingdom. Simply because such a fragile set of perceptions cannot and do not relate all that is true to the initial thoughts and purposes, wholly pleasing unto Yah, unto the preservation of His, of the knowledge of His eternality in this earth. Might sound like a hard word to say that, my brothers and sisters, but it is because these words are true that men in their instability, in their less than exactitude, in their multitude of diverse opinions, and I said even diverse and contentious, opposing opinions, should never have ever been pleased with such. A true Jew, my brothers and sisters, one whose praise or seeks, and one whose praise is Yah, who seeks praise not from men but from Yah, and even seeks to give his praise to Yah, who is one. Therefore, they cannot be pleased, even as Yah is not pleased with indifference, inconsistency. They cannot be pleased, my brothers and sisters, cannot be satisfied not knowing. There's a burning, driving, fervor in the hearts of those whom the Most High calls, because they know there's always still something more. There's a reason why the scriptures say in Isaiah 40 that Messiah will come and ask the world a question. Have you not heard? Have you not understood that there's no searching of all that is divine understanding? Meaning that there's no limits to all the Most High can reveal beyond the ordinary to the heart that is in all things willing. And if man has not known what is necessary unto peace, unto completion, unto salvation, remember I said there's no two peace, says P-A-C-E-S's, If men, my brothers and sisters, are talking about more than one peace, they're talking about something broken. The peace, the salvation, the Most High desires in this one world unto him alone is one. Therefore they, my brothers and sisters, who see that Israel, who is to be a light to the world, Israel is a divided nation. No, my brothers and sisters, by no means are they satisfied, and by no means are they even satisfied with their own understanding. There's a reason why Messiah said to his people Israel, ultimately unto the hope and the promise that Israel shall be restored, though already at the time, 2,000 years ago, Israel was scattered among all, many nations. And only came to be scattered even more so after that time. Well, there's a reason why Messiah said your righteousness must exceed that, and I pray you will understand me. Your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders. He said scribes and Pharisees in 5:14 through 21. Really need to read that all the way out to the 24th verse. Said your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, else you should not enter the kingdom of God. Well, I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. Yes, he was speaking to a people in what was considered Judea proper, Jerusalem. But those words, my brothers and sisters, are timeless. In their principle, my brothers and sisters, they are timeless. The expectation in the latter day has always been that Israel would be regathered from the midst of all the nations. Israel, the nation at that time, was under Roman dominance. Israel is considered a Roman satrapy. I know it's going to sound hard to think about it, but let's be real about it. At the time, Israel was considered, under the Roman Empire, a Roman state. We understand, those of us who are wise, that when Israel wanted autonomy, having a king after Hebrew, or at least what they understood, they had left of Hebrew ideal at that time. Oh, yeah, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. When Israel wanted an autonomy, having a Jewish king, Rome came in and destroyed and even murdered all the priests of Israel. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, all that might have been in that house. What was the remnant of the Maccabean house? All those who, my brothers and sisters, might have been considered rightful heirs to the throne. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, their lives were under serious jeopardy. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that what was left in Israel was not a Jewish kingship. Herod was an Idumean appointed by Rome. Much to be said about this. And it needs to be understood, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter. Yes, indeed, the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, is that Messiah called the priesthood in Israel a band of hypocrites. Whether they even knew it or not, being one who came from on high to restore to this world the knowledge of the kingdom of Yah on high, that men might prepare for the kingdom of Yah to be manifest on earth, where many, even the rulers themselves, did not recognize their hypocrisy. He had the exceeding wisdom, the exceeding insight from the Most High to be able to discern it. And it's because so often the leaders perceived things after such a mundane manner, they did not recognize, my brothers and sisters, the coming of Messiah. And the early church, those of the early church, recognized that the rulers had been treacherous against the appearing of the Messiah, or blind to his appearing. So they knew that if they were to be prepared, rightly prepared for the kingdom of Yah, they must prepare themselves, even seeking the wisdom of Yah beyond their rulers. Because very recently, my brothers and sisters, their rulers had been obstacles against their sight. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. And if rulers, a multitude of diverse rulers, and they have differences of opinion, as Israel had scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, zealots, Essenes, the multitude of contentious ideals act as obstacles against our being true to the will of one, then, my brothers and sisters, we must realize what the rulers have been then, obstacles against our understanding, because especially in a competitive world, so often, so very often, rulers pretend to be all wise, sufficiently wise. My brothers and sisters, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, zealots, Essenes, Romans, after all the various nations of Rome, all of them sufficient unto the one Most High, all of them sufficient unto one holy kingdom. Messiah said your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders then, my brothers and sisters. Your righteousness must exceed that of Babylon. Your righteousness must exceed all the confusion, the unrighteousness, the partialities and perversions that can never resolve a world into one course. Your righteousness must exceed that of your rulers, my brothers and sisters, or else they would have already established peace, even the kingdom of Yah on earth. Messiah, when he comes, will certainly demand and require of men that they transcend all the rulerships of the nations. And whoever, my brothers and sisters, will not transcend these misruling, miscreant, governing obstacles, false religion, yes, even false government, whoever will not exceed these to seek the greater reasoning of Yah, reasoning together with him according to his higher righteousness. According to Isaiah, first chapter, it says they will not partake of the good of the land, but be delivered to the sword, cut off, for the mouth of the Most High has spoken. It's because whoever it is that prefers unrighteousness rather than righteousness, Scripture says, always it said, shall be damned. It never said that when he that is perfect is come, that who prefers what is imperfect, he never said they would survive. In fact, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has promised peace. One of the biggest secrets in the whole Bible is the Most High has promised that all the rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, all of them, be found far short of the mark in his appearing, that he must rebuke them all for whatever it is that they have not been true to the fullness of the testimony that he declared from the beginning. He must rebuke them all, my brothers and sisters, for wherever they've declared false imaginings and false expectations that men have not known what to expect, because the prophecies actually say that he for whom men are waiting, they say they are looking for the coming of Messiah, would have been taught never to know how to rightly perceive him. That when he appears, he will appear suddenly and unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, especially to those who have trusted the rulers. Consider Revelation 16:12-21. It talks about, my brothers and sisters, the coming of the one called the King of the East, preparing, or let's just say drying up the rivers, or men beginning to see the frailties of their rulers, the ungodliness of their rulers, the confusion of their rulers, beginning to understand there's something wrong, to prepare the way for the King of the East, even the one who is called the righteous King, that is like the rising sun that casts out all the darkness, reveals the light the world would obscure. As I say, reveals and rebukes all the darkness. And the scriptures say, my brothers and sisters, in fact, in the midst of those scriptures, that it is the rulers who shall be rebuked for their treachery, for their dereliction of duty. The rulers, my brothers and sisters, who have been responsible for the blindness of the masses. If we read, my brothers and sisters, these scriptures, we understand that they are those who would exalt their denominational allegiances, familial and national ties. But the scripture says when Messiah comes, all this will mean nothing. The question, my brothers and sisters, will be whether you are true to what the Most High knows are the true children, faithful children of Abraham. No other patriarchy will make a difference. He will count whole nations as if they were nothing. Abraham, my brothers and sisters, believed, yeah, I did not say he looked to the rulers of the nations to guide him to wisdom. He believed, yeah, and he believed, yeah, to be greater than them all. How many of my brothers and sisters understand what Messiah meant when he said your righteous then must exceed that of your leaders? You shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Either man exceed the fractionalization, the partiality, the sin, the unrighteousness, the blindness of their rulers. Else, my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of Yah cannot be manifest on this earth. So the Most High is going to do something, my brothers and sisters, to prompt mankind to know that he can no longer trust on what the rulers have declared. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says the nation that will not serve according to what restores Israel to primacy. I'm talking about 60 and 12 Revelation. Well, 60 and 12 Isaiah, excuse me. And I was getting into something that said in Isaiah, well, excuse me, Revelation 16. It said, the nation, my brothers and sisters, that will not exalt that wisdom shall perish. It said, the foundations of all the nations shake. The cities of all the nations fall. All the social coalescences of the nations fall. Scripture says, the heart of Egypt, the social coalescences of all the nations shall melt before the intensity of his exceeding from on high testimony. Who will understand the real meaning of all these things? In fact, my brothers and sisters, it will truly be a revelation, revolution. What does it mean, my brothers and sisters? There's much after which men have had pride in their frailty. But my brothers and sisters, either man will be found true to all that Messiah will bring to rectify all things, to bring peace. And what the scriptures call refreshing, the restitution of all things. Or men will have been found, my brothers and sisters, to heaven, never have had faith at all. Shall men forget that the Most High from the beginning has promised peace? Shall men forget that from the beginning the Most High therefore has promised an end to all confusion? He's promised then an end to all who were deceived. He promised an end, my brothers and sisters, to every lie that men have believed that have prevented them from being able to commune together unto one pure and perfect truth. That is the promise of Yah. But few of them, my brothers and sisters, have been willing to fully understand it. So again, how timely is the principle that the Most High declared in Micaiah 5:14? You can read it all the way out to 24. Israel is to be a light to the world. He said, whoever, my brothers and sisters, then, therefore, who would deny, dishonor, demean, discredit in any way the law of the prophets, he says, shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah, because they have been enemies against it. But the Most High spoke concerning the prophets was always unto the manifestation of one peace in this world, one understanding in this world, a remembrance of what the Most High declared from the beginning. And I did not say according to any other man's purpose. It's time we understand when he said, your rights must see that of your rulers. He was not only speaking to those of that time, but through the course of ages. It says, man, after the fall, fell under the false rule of men who prefer that you never remember the fullness of truth. It has always been important that men realize that it's only by the Holy Spirit that men remember. I said it's only by the Holy Spirit that men remember what is before Yah as truly to be believed. I can only say that I thank him, because I can say again, it's been 30 years that I've known not to seek men for wisdom, because from the very beginning, the Most High revealed to me things, magnificent truths that he told me I must tell you, that were already beyond. In fact, let's just say they were truths, my brothers and sisters, they are truths to be expected, that I haven't heard a man even to this very day that's been willing to declare these things fully according to all the scriptures can say concerning them. Few realize, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah said that he is, according to all the prophecies as to what is his decreed purpose, his word, his dabar, his promise, his word. Few discern. In fact, they've even mistranslated your Bible. They sit back and told you, a mistranslation of Revelation 22:16. It actually means that Messiah brought forth his message that is to be testified in all the churches, that he is the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, that you know not to add anything or take anything away, lest you damn your soul and take away your opportunity toward eternal life. That you should know that they who keep and preserve and maintain, preserve the knowledge of his commandments, that have a right to the tree of life. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, all that is written concerning him who was called the written offspring of David, the bright morning star, is a declaration that he will destroy, expose, humiliate whatever is short of the mark and partial in the law. In fact, my brothers and sisters, there are many who wear priestly garments and robes who will be found naked after his word is known. For all will know how many, my brothers and sisters, it has been that have sought to hide their inequity, their injustice, their unrighteousness. In fact, my brothers and sisters, their falsehood, their treacherously false oaths, their irreverence under the guise of their robes. Malachi 2:16 through 3:4 speaks of it well. Revelation 16:12 through 21 speaks of it too. It says, blessed are they who keep their garments, that men not see their shame. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, whoever it is that has not spoke the kind of testimony that I'm speaking to you now, that you prepare, the one who comes to reprove all, will be found unnatural, against the course of nature, against the course of the spirit, abomination, not formed of Yah, and therefore having not been his witnesses. And the rebellion against this testimony will not be found his witnesses. But the testimony of another. Isaiah 41:21 through 43:15 tells you in advance that rulers will not speak these things, for their avocation depends upon your trusting them who keep you in a prison house where the greater light was never seen. He said, your righteousness must exceed that of those who have the truth in you. The victory is in finding that truth that they hid. But how many are willing to humble themselves to understand it? The true Jew never counted themselves as having peace under Abraham's bosom after anybody's partial or perverse or polluted knowledge. They knew all this was vanity. Most High can't sign his name to somebody's lies. In fact, he said he would not sign his name to a people who have sworn by his name in truth, not in truth nor in righteousness. He did swear, however, that he would refine his people, and blessed are they who realize a voice of refinement when they hear it. Blessed are they who realize, my brothers and sisters, the Most High will not profane his name. Blessed are they who realize that no partial standard, no wicked, lawless, reprobate standard is viable under the kingdom of the Most High. Blessed are they who understand what Messiah meant when the scripture says in Isaiah 49, he said, listen to me, O ye isles, hearken to me, O ye nations, for from the beginning, from the creation thereof, I to show you the way that you should go. That he is the one the Most High calls and reveals in the latter days to bring Israel back to him, to bring Israel to the remembrance of her ancient spiritual strength. For the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, Israel, as the Most High intends Israel to be, as he has envisioned and defined Israel, is a people that will be found true to all the Most High declared to his people. Yes, my brothers and sisters, since the dawn of human fall, that they should never forget and never again be dissuaded. I would ask the question, when the scripture in Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 in Aramaic, it says this, and other texts are related the same. It says, once the Most High cast out the iniquities, the blindness, the obstacles that have blinded the people, when he cast them out like a thick mist, their sins, those allegiances that have blinded them, he says, from henceforth forget me not. The Most High intends to establish a kingdom and a king, Jerusalem upon a firm foundation, establishing a shepherd, a king, who should sit upon that throne, even to establish a kingdom forever, exposing all the unrighteousness of all other rule. Well, he said, from henceforth forget me not, and he then speaks about this anointed when he calls, well, in the King James, they put his name as Cyrus, but his title was the Kurdi, the righteous one, Kurd, son, Dis, rise. sunrise, one like the rising sun that suddenly comes and casts out the darkness. The men discern beyond all the schemes the men have connived in the darkness. Scripture speaks of him, my brothers and sisters, also at Isaiah 59. It says, like it says also in Romans 11:25-27, the deliverer will come out of Zion. They shall revere the name of the Most High from the rising sun to the west, and the deliverer shall come out of Zion. Where do you see those scriptures in Isaiah 45:1-6 as a similitude? Who is that one, my brothers and sisters, that the scripture says, because of him, the words of the Most High shall not depart out of your mouth, nor the mouths of your descendants, descendants henceforth even forever. Romans 11:25-27 quotes 11:25-27 out to 12 and 4. Quotes much scripture just between Isaiah 40 and 41. Telling you who the early church, telling you who the apostles knew the Messiah to be. But my brothers and sisters, Western polytheist imperialism has sought to shut the minds, compelling men to believe they know the Messiah, but after the parameters of Western polytheist obstacles and adversaries, that they not discern him who must conquer and expose all these pluralities, that men finally at last might be free. The rulers wouldn't tell you about this, but the scripture said actually that this testimony that Messiah is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, the one that the scriptures call Shiloh, that unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Unto him, after he exposes all the wicked, the lawless standards of men, unto him shall all the nations seek, the Gentiles seek, and his rest, his peace shall be glorious. Him that the Most High spoke of, saying that he would overturn this system. Three times he will send this one. Till he comes, he says, unto whom it belongs by right, and he will give it to him. Psalm 110, my brothers and sisters, speaks of that one saying, Lord, said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Say, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Wow. How many understand the full implications of that statement? And the scripture says he will lift the heads of many on earth. How many really understand what this means relative to the scripture says he will smite the corners of Moab? Meaning, my brothers and sisters, he shall cast down whoever it is that would be an obstacle against the peace in the realization and reverence for the sovereignty of one. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's important, very, very important, that we realize that the rulers have not warned you that Messiah will come to reprove, yes, all your churches, all your pastors, all your various allegiances after misguided ideals that are taught in institutions that never told you the whole, complete, and pure truth. They didn't tell you about the scriptures that I call the secret city prophecies. Check out my website. They didn't tell you about those things, my brothers and sisters, about how Messiah shall appear. The men have pronated, my brothers and sisters, not to realize what was meant when he said in Luke 17, the Son of Man does not come by observation. The king, he told the scribes and Pharisees, just like it was at that time, the king or the prince in them is among you. He didn't say the kingdom of Yah is in you. The original words would have better in that context and said, hey, the prince or the Son of Man does not come by easy observation. Men don't recognize him so quickly, especially not after the orientation of the men. Scripture says, he would come forth saying, from the body of my mother, he made mention of my name, and in the shadow of his hand is the Most High hidden him. Isaiah 45 says he would come forth saying, what? The people will come forth and say concerning him, sure thou art one who hidest thyself. Meaning that men after the flesh won't perceive his words. Scripture says in Isaiah 28, to whom shall he make to understand his report? Who will believe his report? Isaiah 52:15-53:1. Isaiah, my brothers and sisters, I think about so many scriptures. 41:25, they put down north. It means I've stood up one who is not easily perceived. One that men would look to and not be able to say that he is righteous, because they have only known unrighteousness, because they've never heard the gospel of righteousness. They've only heard what has protected the thrones and the pulpits and the rulers. See, I was one like to come suddenly like the rising sun, and the kings to be trodden down like martyrs, the potter treads clay. How many of my brothers and sisters understand? I mean, I know so folks are just puffed up in the institutions of man, so sure that when Messiah comes, they are ready for him to just applaud them. Only because they have been less than concerned for the discernment of all things, for the healing of all. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, whoever would seek all that's contained in the scriptures, true to the Most High, true to the call, discerning so much that is not common to men, and knowing to seek more, would not be so immediately pleased, not even with their own deliberations. Because the kingdom of Yah and the common understanding of our people is still not yet come, and they know to seek whatever is necessary for this healing. And until that occurs, even as is written in the Psalms concerning Messiah, saying, I will not be pleased till thy worship is revived. Men, how long will you love vanity? Will you love deception forever? But know that Yah has set apart for himself him that is wonderful, and he will hear when I call to him. How many understand these words, my brothers and sisters, and what they imply concerning Messiah in these latter days? Well, those who want to accept Isaiah 49 because they believe rapture doctrine, believe that Messiah is going to be some big giant something in the sky, and that's how you appear to man. They won't recognize what it said in Malachi, which says he suddenly appeared to his temple. They won't recognize, my brothers and sisters, the scripture talks about how Isaiah 66, he will suddenly rebuke a city and the temple, church and state, if you will, all the depravity that has been offered unto the Most High. And men too blind to understand that it is iniquity. Yeah, like I said, rulers want people to be proud of what they paid for. Sue says, I've talked to a bunch of them, just sit back and tell me outright, hey, I'm glad you all understand these things, but that's not what they want now at church, they said. They said that's not their avocation, they told me, but literally, it's not even their job to tell them. If the people want the mess they teach, the partiality they teach, the perversion they teach, and that's what they prefer, they told me that I wasn't welcome to come to bring it. Because they basically told me that their avocation is to reside over this congregation and cause the people to feel good about what they wanted to believe rather than ask the Most High for what they need. They believe you are fools, my brothers and sisters. And they realize, many of them, that most of you are so possessed with what your pastors have presented to you and your affiliations with those who are part of those institutions, that they know that you prefer, as the Most High told me directly, very early on, he told me most would rather believe a lie than believe they've been deceived. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, only those who show a great love of the truth, in spite of a world's multitude of anomalies, are they who will overcome the mark of the beast, the standards of the nations, to prove they are truly him. I would have you to understand something, brothers and sisters, truly. Like I said, the true church of old knew to exceed the rulers. They knew the rulers would be found obstacles against your awakening. That's exactly what you find in Revelation 6:12 through 7:17. While the rulers, the Messiah's appearing, be running for cover, hollering, hiding, telling the rocks and the mountains, even the people, to try to hide them. Oh, they're still more concerned about themselves than they are the nation and their people. Hide us from the Lamb and the wrath of him who sits upon the throne. For the day of his wrath is coming, who shall be able to stand? It certainly won't be those of our brothers and sisters who trust the rulers who shall fall. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. 2,000 years ago, Israel had long been a nation without a truly in all things restorative king, on enjoying only short periods in which the people could say that they had a period, if you will, of regrowth. Under Nehemiah for a time. But my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that if you really search the history of Israel, what you will find is that very few kings can be said to have been as restorative to Israel as was such faithful Davidic kings as was David and kings like King Uzziah. Israel was given prophets, but the prophets were given because due to the interruption and the distraction whereby Israel so many times had allegiances after the ideas of other kings of heathen nations. So many times, my brothers and sisters, so many times prophets were sent because the king were not fully unto the restoration. You need to consider, my brothers and sisters, that from the time of the Babylonian captivity, yes, and Israel was already, if you look at Jeremiah's time, Yirmiyahu's time, Israel was already falling away. You find, my brothers and sisters, that from that time forward, you find that Israel, after the infiltration of the nations, they become spiritually quite weak. And between Israel being from that time cast into Babylon, brought out from Babylon, but still at that time a satrapy under, I pray you will understand me, the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire itself was not continually true to all its inaugurator related. However, there had been a monotheist revolution that time, and the expectation, I pray you will understand this, throughout the East was the prophecy that him who the Most High Yah, the Holy One of Israel, had established to build that kingdom and liberate Israel out of Babylon, would return. And our brothers and sisters, even twice more return. Finally, well, let's just say one time, to give his life, the men discerned that the rulership they had trusted across the nations was foolish. To give his life, the men turn away from the sin of their misallegiances that have divided the people because Israel must be one. Remember, said a true Israelite cannot be pleased against the Shema, that Yah and his people must be one. They can never be satisfied in their own righteousness. Never. Never. Even the Apostle Shaul said, I know nothing of which I'm guilty, I fall short. He said, let us not consider ourselves so wise for the time, because the judge will still be Messiah who comes to reveal the things that men have not considered. Things that men tucked away in the darkness. He said, and then in that day shall men know how to praise Yah. Because every institution that would keep you in darkness is not to understand that which the kingdom will be established upon. All of them are the work of the adversary. All of them are false prophets. All of them are false rulers. And those who are wise understand that Isaiah 44:20-45:6 is 1 Corinthians 3:18-4:5. And again, my brothers and sisters, it speaks of who the early church knew the Mashiach, the Messiah to be. But how many of my brothers and sisters prepare for that? For a lot of people, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you this. I'm just giving you a hint. As powerful as that truth is, for many it would not be significant or realized as significant to the very name of Messiah himself is revealed. But men understand, according to all that is on another article on my website called The Secret Name, is revealed in Messiah to have every single one of these titles concealed in his name. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King, Great King, King, Shashin Shahe, Word of Yah, Watchman with my Yah, Elohim, King of the East, David, Curdy, Wow. So many titles, my brothers and sisters, about 36 odd titles. The scripture said he would have, even as much as saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. All these concealed in his name. Lord, our righteousness. How many of my brothers and sisters is prepared to see such a miraculous thing brought to bear that the Most High said he would name? But like I said, my brothers and sisters, some people think that I'm just speaking off the top of my head now. Time will tell. I promise you, time will tell. Again, my brothers and sisters, there's something that I wrote. I'm not going to make the show tonight an extremely long one. I just want to relate a few particular points. Because Most High is speaking ultimately both Jew and Gentile in the latter days, and he says, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach the gospel to the meek. To preach the word, my brothers and sisters, that the rulers have hid. Preach the word, my brothers and sisters, that is above all the nations. One, even the word, my brothers and sisters, that exposed the unruliness of all the nations. Even the exceeding word that declares the rule of Yah. Think about it. When the scripture says that word that is above all nations shall reign, it will declare indeed the reign, the rule of Yah. It means, my brothers and sisters, while men are subject to those who hide that truth, they're still yet in bondage to another. It is not the Most High who by his Spirit has hid these things. It is man's refusal to accept the foundation upon which these words stand. I repeat, let me say that again. It is man's refusal to understand the foundation upon which the words of this book are related that has blinded mankind. You have to one day have to deal with the magnitude of his shame, his sin, and what has been damnation after a fallen foundation. Most High told me that every lie a man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater truth. Perhaps I need to repeat that again. He told me every lie a man believes, every false perception, every false god, every false perception of deity, every fallen standard men believe and uphold, having other gods other than he, other standards, biases, and opinions other than what is true to him, is an obstacle, a deviant, a damning devil against discerning Yah as he is. So you need to understand, brothers and sisters, because men have not understood what the Most High has called the eventuality. What he has promised must be. What he declared from the beginning. Outside understanding that continuity, all that men have come to think they knew had been vanity. So they did not accomplish faith in Yah, true as he is, beyond the rulers who would turn you from believing Yah as he is. There's a reason why the scripture says Yah so loved the world. He gave a faithful one, his only begotten son, one who as a prophet would speak when others would not. He gave his only begotten son to those who believe in him. I didn't say the rule of man. I didn't say all the partialities of man. I didn't say the rule of man that has been designed to keep you from understanding the truth. But those who believe in him should not perish. Because my brothers and sisters, how can men call rightly upon the name of the Most High according to the illusions of men? To speak the words of devils, my brothers and sisters, be kind of still yet not redeemed, still not yet free. He talked about those who do declare According to Isaiah 41, what he declared from the beginning, what is eternal, that you might discern what is the inconstancy of this world and how to overcome it. He said, they are his witnesses. But the scripture says, in the last days, you look around and see no one. So he had to send someone. And he says, behold, my servant, my life, and my soul delights to put my spirit upon him. He shall declare what is indeed his righteousness, justice, even the truth of the world has hid. To all the nations, the islands shall look, the nations shall look to him for his law, his exceeding word, even the way of peace that they have not known, for he must lead his people by the way that they have known not. He must lead them by the way, my brothers and sisters, their rulers would never tell. He must restore, my brothers and sisters, what men had not sought to see restored. He must magnify the law that men discern it after a manner unto the Most High pleasing and honorable. In fact, my brothers and sisters, must declare a word, an exceeding word, the gospel of the Holy King. Amen. Finally, though they have been burned, severely weakened in their discretion, hid in prison houses and known it not, they might again hear his voice and discern that it is he, that he gathers his people from the midst of all the nations. Who will understand it? Read Isaiah 41:21, my brothers and sisters, through 43:15. Take it back to the 40th chapter. Read on through 40:27 through 41:4. Understand how much prophecy, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah. How about Isaiah 42:1 when it says, behold, my servant, and compare it to Matthew, they called it, 12:18. And realize that this same one that's mentioned from Isaiah 41:1 to 42:1 is the same one. Not talking about two different. And understand who Messiah is. In fact, Isaiah 45:1 calls him his anointed. Calls him Messiah. Who will understand the revelation when it says, it talks about a preparation for the coming of the King of the East. How many would know to trust beyond the rulers till they discern that the ways of the rulers have caused human downfall? They might prepare for a greater king. He says, his appearance, he says, preparing for the King of the East. He said, behold, I come. He is the King of the East. Mentioned in Isaiah 41. He says, when he appears, men realize that all the foundation of all their established expectations has not been considered of him. All the systems of the earth fall. But who's ready to understand? I'd like to make something clear. The Hebrew word that is called, we oftentimes hear saying word. If you look at the splash intro screen of tonight's show, I've put up a paraphrase. Should it be considered a paraphrase? Actually, I think not. Let's just say that those who did the translation didn't really entirely understand the initial premise. They didn't understand the initial promise. They didn't quite understand the initial purpose. The word, is much more important, my brothers and sisters. We understand that before we speak a word, there is a thought, there is a concept. There's an agreement in the mind and heart. If we speak true to what the Most High has granted by His Spirit, there's agreement in the mind and heart according to purpose, according to eventuality, according to what is a sure decree, according to concept. Far more than just reading words on a page, because people do that all the time, my brothers and sisters, and functioning after the flesh have arrived at, 45,000 denominations in this world declaring something different and different opinion? My brothers and sisters, the Most High told me not to know what it said, not know why it is said. It's a missed point. Let's make a long story short. To know what it said, not know why it is said, is to sin. It is to lie. It is not to be true to the testimony. It is not to testify from the Most High, my brothers and sisters, but testify after the deviant, presumptuous, treacherous, hypocritical lies. Deceptions of those who, my brothers and sisters, have not known Yah. Remember what the scriptures talk about? A lot of pastors going to come forth in that day saying, did we not preach, testify? exalt, worship in your name, according to your authority, according to your, how about your unction? People oftentimes don't realize the scripture says they worship false gods. It means they exalt something. There's a false standard. Did we not preach in your name? Was this, in other words, the Messiah will come back and say to them, keep away from me, I never knew you, you who work, whose works, whose, let's just say, what issues forth from your soul. What you conceived, what you spoke, what you taught, what you, was your example, what has come as a result of your example, was iniquity. How about an abomination? Ungodliness. Keep away from me, he says. Then we'll find out, brothers and sisters, in that day that what they had taught and believed was not upon that initial foundation. And that means, again, brothers and sisters, what is not upon the initial foundation and the initial expectation of the Most High, being upon a faulty foundation, must fall, because what must be established in infirmity must be brought to bear. And it means that every false foundation must crumble, must be no more. Even as the scriptures have said, the stone which the builders rejected. Yes, the builders even of your temples and your nations. The stone, the absolute foundation, the promise of the Most High declared, wrote in stone, declared to remain forever, a constant. That promise, that expectation, that vision, that the builders, those who established the cages that you are in, the stone which the builders rejected, that premise, must become the chief stone of the corner. Many of my brothers and sisters, that what men have established must be removed. That what is firm and true should be the only foundation upon which men perceive anything that henceforth they hear from the Most High. It is because men have been derelict in the pursuit of that foundation that we see a world so grossly misguided today. The scripture said the gospel be hid. That initial eternal foundation be hid, after which the kingdom of Yah was established before even the world was made. If that gospel be hid, men are misled, misguided, beguiled, deceived. And oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, men have become so prideful in seeking to establish institutions of their own that so often, my brothers and sisters, most have perished in their pride. My people, my brothers and sisters, have been destroyed for their pride in so much of what has been just a lack of knowledge. Who then, my brothers and sisters, is wise to understand the gospel of preparation? Preparation, my brothers and sisters, for the time of refreshing that must come. Again, I can only tell you that the Hebrew word dabar, that is used for the word word, also means promise. It can relate a premise or a foundation, a decree, a sentence, a judgment, an expectation. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. And understand, it can, even because it is a promise with the Most High, can be related, my brothers and sisters, as a thing that is blessed, even a reconciliation, a covenant. Please understand the implications. Please understand that before there are words, there are thought in the mind. And believe in my brothers and sisters, all the Most High has said, he has said, reflected, considerate of, reverent for all that from the beginning he has promised and all that he has said and never will say. So in effect, what we could say, when we read the King James Version where it says such things, in the beginning was the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. You can say from the beginning was the, how about, my brothers and sisters, the everlasting promise of the Most High. In fact, the Hebrew word for beginning also relates to everlasting. Wow. Powerful statement. It relates to what from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, also the Hebrew word there also relates the concept of what is from the beginning is the everlasting rule. Boy, if I could just sit back and tell you what these, I'm just looking at these words and seeing them. Woo, boy. Understanding what they could translate out as. If they were to write them in English. The beginning was the word, the promise, the eternal rule. It is in harmony, my brothers and sisters. It is a constant with Yah. I didn't say it is according to the diverse conspiracies of compromise that are a broken promise and a broken rule, a broken law, after the diverse standards of men, the plurality of men that can never be true to the will of one. The promise that's from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, before the world was made, before even man fell away from the Most High, it is true to the consistency that Yah is one. And Yah, my brothers and sisters, being true, being holy, even as he is, and in all things true to his word, of his word, true to what is his character, his purpose, his plan, his decree, his understanding, what he calls blessed, what he calls holy, what he calls righteous. And many not knowing what the Most High has planned as righteousness from the beginning have sought to establish faulty foundations, my brothers and sisters, and none of them are worthy. None of them are worthy to establish what was promised from the beginning. None of them are true to the initial vision. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that is humble enough to understand what the Scripture says, the Spirit of Yah is upon to preach the gospel to the meek? That's not just, my brothers and sisters, to one people. That's unto all people in all nations. For the gospel is a word transcending them all, according to what the Most High declared from the beginning, even the Spirit that is from the beginning, which is why the Scriptures say he will come forth saying, from the beginning, from the creation, from the time that it was, there am I. And the Most High sent with me with his Spirit to show you the way that you should go, that you should no longer be lost, misled, no longer deceived of those who would beguile and exploit you. And your varied spiritual immaturity. The grace, the gift of Yah, my brothers and sisters, does not leave men lacking if they are true to it. The grace of Yah does not mean leave men subject to lawlessness, but unto an everlasting law. It's time to wake up and understand, my brothers and sisters, the law of the heathen was a rule to preserve darkness as if it were light. Preserve ignorance and diversitudes and misunderstanding as if it were wisdom. And in so many ways, the heathen just made all their varied ideals another god. All contentious after the misopinions of man. They basically sought to sanction the frailty of their lack of understanding and declare them all after the gods of their own lusts. A god wrought and created their own lusts. Many of the ways, my brothers and sisters, that seem right unto men, but the end thereof is death. Many of the ways that seem righteous, pure and complete, unto one choice, unto men. But the end thereof, my brothers and sisters, in the contentiousness of it all, is not life. And the contradictions of it all is not life, but depravity, even unto death. From the beginning, my brothers and sisters, the Most High made a promise. He made a promise according to his glorious name, when he said, I am the great I am, that I am not as he is not. He never said that he would be destabilized or allow himself or his holy name or his glory to be destabilized or given to another after the misconceits of man or the deceived perceptions of another, the presumptuousness of another. So from the beginning was his promise. Eternal then is his promise. It is a constant even to be achieved, he said, in his promise, even his promised one. Many times when you read words like righteous, it could also be related, my brothers and sisters, as righteous one. Something to consider. So from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, the Most High made a promise. A word, my brothers and sisters, a promised and a promised one that he said he would send forth, that his word not return to him void, that it accomplished all that for which he sent it, that will perform all that is his pleasure for the Most High as a faithful ally. that will overcome this Babylon. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, will expose wherever it is men have sworn an oath unto the Most High, but not unto constancy. Where they've sworn an oath unto the Most High. And think about it, a ring, an oath, is a constant thing. That's what it's supposed to be. Wherever men have sworn oath, my brothers and sisters, not unto a constancy, not unto that which is eternal. Brothers and sisters, he said he would expose this Babylon. He would expose this confusion. He would expose all this debate and doubt as vanity, ignorance, not resulting of the inspiration of the Eternal One. That all who are wise, my brothers and sisters, shall know to seek unto and after him. Have they taught you that gospel of preparation, my brothers and sisters, that you know to prepare to seek beyond the rulers? From the beginning was this promise, even the promised one. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that in the book of Enoch, it talks about the fallen angels who fell away, became unstable because they forgot that the name of the Most High is an oath. They forgot that name of that oath. They forgot that constancy, though they say deviated and strayed. How many of my brothers and sisters will understand the meaning of what the scriptures say concerning Messiah? Said he has upon him a name written which no man discerns, no man knows or fully discerns to the dimension as does he himself. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you that the name of the Most High is the foundation from which all things are and all things will exist. And that name in its constancy, my brothers and sisters, also declares what will exist and what will pass away. For all that will remain, since the Most High has promised a perfect peace, is that which is consistent to that initial word. Scripture says, when the Messiah comes for the restoration of all things, the refreshing of all things, when he comes as a prophet to declare all that is true after the inspiration of the Most High, that he's spoken by the mouth of his prophet since the world began, whoever will not be true to that prophet, that testimony, his testimony, should be cut off. My brothers and sisters, found beastly, unreasonable. You must overcome the marks of the beast, the standards of the nations, believing the Hebrew word for Gentile and unreasoning beasts who will not reason after the will of one as one and the same. It is sin to be a multitude of nations, my brothers and sisters. The earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It is sin whenever a multitude of nations trapped and snared after the ideals of a multitude of short-sighted men have not sought by faith beyond them unto the reconciliation that must be. And wherever that expectation does not exist, man has fallen from faith in Yah and has been beguiled after the multitude of diverse standards of men. Abraham believed, had faith, that Yah is wise above all else unto perfection. And that was accounted to him for righteousness, that he was called the friend of Yah. What did Yah say? What did Messiah say concerning Abraham? Even concerning all those who would follow him. He said, if you do everything I command you, say you're my friend if you do everything I command you. Say you're the sons of Abraham if you belong to him who declares all righteousness, the Kurdi. They put down Christ, but that word Christ is polytheist, is not true to the word of one. So if you belong to Kurdi, the one who declares all righteousness beyond the flawed misrule of this world, if you belong to him, you are the sons of Abraham according to the promise. The promise of one peace, my brothers and sisters, beyond all the elementary principles of the world. And even the Apostle Shaul warned that those who had come to this precious knowledge must exceed the elementary principle of the world, or else the work that had been done in them had been vain. Need to read Galatians 3:29 out through the fourth chapter. Understanding the pagans didn't have a word to relate the difference between divine law and man's law. He said, a righteous come by the diverse flaw of man, a fullness unto Yah comes after the broken misrule of man. For the rule of man was to break the law and call it wise. Defy divine rule and call it wise. Hey, that's how people get deceived. He said, righteous come by the broken rule of man, then Messiah came to restore all things then in vain. Yeah. You really need to understand the real meaning of these words, my brothers and sisters. From the beginning, the Most High made a promise. He declared a purpose. He made a decree, an inerrant, irrevocable decree. He even declared a promise, one called Shiloh. He called him in Genesis 14, 49, and 10. And of him unto whom it belongs, him who would bring the peace. He will restore all things after all things, make all things complete. Shiloh, shalom. Hey, all these words, my brothers and sisters, relate. Him who will restore all things complete. Spirit of Binah, understanding, complete understanding, considerate of all things. He said, he will silence the mouths of the kings, but men shall in that day consider what they had not considered. That promise one, my brothers and sisters, is with, in, and of, surely, as, eternal, in Yah. Not after the misconceits of man, and after the promise of Yah, eternal, is existence, Yah. So is Yah true to his word. Messiah said, I am my Father, of one accord. Blessed are they who will understand, my brothers and sisters. That those who would be his sons must understand what it means. When he says, those who believe in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. Those who believe in him, my brothers and sisters, he will increase their strength. That they discern the word that puts shame to and silences all the diverse rule of all the nations. Read Isaiah 40, 27 through 41, 4 and understand. 41, 25 through 43, 15 and understand. For it is in the silencing of the lie according to the promise that Babylon shall be no more and righteousness shall reign. Who will hear the true word that is the gospel of preparation for the kingdom, holy kingdom of Yah that is to come? Well, they tell me I've got about 30 seconds left. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. To his might, honor, and to his praise always, I thank you all for listening. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, to his honor, not to his sovereignty always. Hallelujah! And I thank the Most High for every ear he brings near to understand.
You got the word to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You sent.
How many, when we say shalom, wish and pray and petition that beyond ourselves, even unto a truth that will put so much what many have believed to be wise to shame, how many petition the Most High when we say shalom that we discern beyond ourselves to give glory to his name?
You got no